Singer-songwriter John Vanderslice has been releasing solo albums since 2000. He has his own studio in San Francisco where he also works as a producer. His latest, his sixth overall, is called Emerald City, which refers to the Green Zone in Baghdad. But as we find out, it's not important to John that you get the right interpretation of a song.
It's not important, and I always give the caveat that what I think a song is about is not necessarily gospel. In fact, it might not even be that helpful for some people. I've gotten some incredibly overwrought and highly constructed emails about what Pixel Revolt was about and what Emerald City is about, and I don't want to break anyone's heart and tell them, well, you know, you're actually way farther out than I am, and your ideas are actually in some ways more interesting than, you know, what, you know, there's no overarching connection between every single song on Pixel Revolt, for instance. And but I do mention to people, hey, art is completed like a wide receiver. It is completed on the other side by the listener, and I don't necessarily think, I don't care what Bob Dylan meant when he was writing Gates of Eden. I know what I feel the song's about.
And so to continue the metaphor, somebody may be out of bounds when they receive your work, but it's still, they have received it.
Beautiful out of bounds play.
I mean, you like that? Well, now this album, I understand, had at least something to do with you trying to get your girlfriend into this country. I don't hear that in every song, but it's behind it in some way.
Well, it is, absolutely. The feeling that I had, which was extreme frustration and also both of us were in limbo, and we were not sure whether the relationship was going to survive because we had gotten one visa rejected and we had to hire a new lawyer, and the process in the middle of our K-1 application was taken over by Homeland Security. So it got very, very Byzantine, and we had applied at the State Department in Paris, and then everything got transferred over here. She wasn't allowed to visit here even to deal with visa stuff. So it was for about 14 months, it was. And that coincided with the time I was writing the record. I was in a state of limbo, and I was frustrated. And to me, I hear it in the album, but it's not necessary that people know that.
Well, there was certainly a political element to Pixel Revolt, and it continues over somewhat on this album. Did your frustration with that and that experience add to your feelings about their current political situation?
Yeah, I think it made me more anti-government and more. Yeah, of course.
The album begins with a wonderful song called Kookaburra. Is that one you all could do for us?
We would love to play that for you.
Lightning shot from the sky. It breathed life into every living thing. Made you, it made me. It gave us the kookaburra. It gave us frangipane tree. Dusk to dawn and dawn to dusk. Sky will fail with vaporized dust raining white on white like streamers, dirty confetti white on white. The Chrysler Tower had disappeared. White on white, the Capitol Dome was invisible. White on white, the hoisted flag had disappeared. We'll be right back. 17. Dusk to dawn and dawn to dusk. Sky will fail and vaporize dust raining wide on wide like streamers, dirty confetti wide on wide. Looming spire I disappear wide on wide. The Bunda star was invisible wide on wide. The hoisted flag had the kookaburra. It gave us frangipane.
That's Kookaburra from our guest today, John Vanderslice. His new album is called Emerald City, and it's his latest one out on Barsuk and a wonderful, wonderful now disc. This band, Sadov, who's here with you today?
Ian Bjornstad is playing Moog source and a Wurlitzer. David Douglas is playing a Moog source and drums. And Daniel Hart is singing and playing violin and also playing bass.
Now, you have your own studio. Right?
I do.
And it's pretty much an analog affair.
It's analog-centric. It's called Tiny Telephone. It's in the Mission of San Francisco.
Now, you work with Scott Solter, and you've worked the last couple albums with him. And you've also served as a producer for others. What about that whole role of producer? What do you do for others? Does it have to do with your equipment expertise?
It has to do...
I know you work with Spoon.
I worked for Spoon just briefly during one nine-day recording session, which was fantastic. The value that I have to bands is if I'm obsessed with them and I know their music and I also know their history. I saw Spoon on the Telefono tour, so I appreciated where they came from in maybe a different way than some people but they're working. They have an amazing crew now, but they had worked with a string of different engineers and producers at that time. And I've also been working with Mountain Goats, and I've been a fan of Mountain Goats for a long time. In general, producing is it's very time consuming, and it burns so much creative juice in your brain that I try to do only work with Mountain Goats now. My goal is to not produce anything other than Mountain Goats. We just finished a record maybe a month ago.
Use that creativity for your own.
It's really projects. Yeah, because there's only so much there, and with touring, and you know, it's I think it's an extremely difficult thing to do.
John Vanderslice is playing live for us today on the Cafe. What's next?
Let's play Exodus Damage from Pixel Revolt.
Show, I'll call the day before life. Rushmore. Got Exodus damage, bleed. Could not commit some things I'll never be. So now we're talking about this. I'm starting to lose my confidence, and no one ever says a word about so much that happened. A sad delusion, and sometimes it's true. So now we're talking about this. I'm starting to lose my confidence, and no one ever says a word about so much that happens in the world.
John Vanderslice is playing live for us today, and that's a song that goes back to Pixel Revolt, Exodus Damage, played live in the Cafe Studios today. I read a lot about you and film, and you're a big movie fan, I understand.
Yeah,
big. Very much so. Now, how does that affect songwriting? Is it just, do you just get images from films in it, or does it?
Well, I think film is not like, I saw HUD, which mm-hmm. really affected me. And then a couple years later, I wrote They Won't Let Me Run. And it wasn't until maybe 4 or 5 months after I wrote the song that I thought, wow, that must be some kind of retelling of HUD. Now, no one's ever come to me and said, wow, that sounds like that, you know, that the Paul Newman vehicle, you know. But I think that narratives of film, for some reason, really get inside of me. And I've always been a film fanatic, but probably in the past 5 years, it's gotten, you know, 4 or 5 films a week.
Wow. So on tour, you're able to go in the afternoon and...
Yeah. We watch a lot of DVDs. I just watched Inland Empire and Volver in the van, which were both totally fantastic. Inland Empire actually affected me a lot. I thought that was really, really good.
Now, what about literature, though? I mean, that's a different way of storytelling, and I'm wondering if that affects you.
Absolutely. I mean, I have adapted Blake poems and Robert Lowell poems, and I have, you know, definitely been really interested in narrative fiction and also in poetry. I think maybe the older I get, I hate to say it, but I think I get a little lazier and I'm watching more movies. That's not good, is it? Uh-oh. And when I see my bandmates reading on tour, I feel so lazy. I think, man, if I could be more like them. And then I open my, you know, G4 and then I watch another movie.
And there's books on CD, too.
So oh, yeah. I don't have any excuse.
Yeah, exactly. John Vanderslice is our guest. The new album is called Emerald City. And what would you like to finish up with?
Let's play The Tower.
I'm staying now in a vacation house. It's awesome. There's no reason to leave. Today in the fishing boat I pulled the choke and started the engine and set it on
Tower is another one from the new album, Emerald City. John Vanderslice playing live for us today. And as we mentioned, John is from the Bay Area, where you have a little studio in the Mission District. How did you end up in San Francisco? You're originally from the South, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Gainesville and in Jacksonville, and I was in love with someone who was going to USC, and so I moved out and lived in her dorm room. She didn't have her roommate tried to kill herself, and her roommate went back home, and so I was actually living in an apartment off campus. So then I moved in with her on campus, and I lived on USC and went to the library and acted like a normal student for about 6 months, and then I moved to Hollywood, and then I visited San Francisco, and I moved up there.
Ah, okay. And I was curious, it's an expensive city. Is that how you ended up in the Mission District, or is that not a cheap place anymore at all?
I would say expensive is an understatement.
Yeah,
I would say
yeah.
It's crippling to live there.
Yeah.
I had rent control for about 8 years. I think that most artists that live there survive by the grace of rent control. And I think that if you get into a good rent-controlled apartment and stick it out there in the city, wages are higher there. So you know, I was a waiter for a long time at Chez Panisse in Berkeley, and you know, I was really in the kind of the food service where you can make money in the Bay Area and you can keep up.
Well, you're not the only musician who does that as well.
Yes.
So anyway,
yeah.
John, thank you. Thanks for your work, and thanks a lot for coming by.
Thanks a lot, David. I really appreciate it. Thanks to my bandmates for playing lovely today, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. John Vanderslice, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.